she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
And if you missed the first segment of the show this morning, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. But we did play a clip of Darth Vader from Star Wars and asked Chewie if it sounded like James Earl Jones, and he did acquiesce. He did say and admit that yes, in fact, it did sound like James Earl Jones, even though yesterday he said no one knows that James Earl Jones is the voice of Darth Vader. For what it's worth, 93% of people said they did know that that was.
I'll take that as a loss.
Oh, yes. Well,
My first one.
It is. It's pretty significant. So Jordan Love, we talked to Adam Schefter earlier ever. We talked to Adam Schefter earlier about Jordan Love. He still is sitting with, he believes he will be back for the Vikings. That means the Packers have to get through these next two games with Malik Willis likely under center. But there was an interesting conversation on KBN in the afternoon. You can listen to KBN right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. And apparently there was they were underwhelmed. There was some underwhelmedness. Underwhelming? I don't know. They were underwhelmed about Jordan Love in week one. And I got to be honest with you guys, I don't think that's fair. I think everyone, for the most part, other than the Chiefs, maybe the 49ers, you could argue, I think everyone was pretty underwhelming in week one. I know, Gabe, that you felt like Jordan did not play as well as you expected him to play. But I keep going back to no preseason. You know, like, where were these guys supposed to get the rust off? Where were they supposed to shake off the sloppiness?
It's what the joint practices are for. But, I mean, yeah, Jordan Love didn't play great. He's not going to play great in all 17 games. That's just the reality of the situation. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to have 17 perfect games. Lamar Jackson, as the league MVP last year, didn't have 17 spectacular games that led him to his second league MVP award. So, I mean, did I take that as an indictment of, oh, man, Jordan Love's the reason they lost? No, they were sloppy all over the place, giving up 400 yards of offense. That's not good. When you're a defense, not being able to turn those points, and obviously Jordan had something to do with that, not being able to turn those turnovers into more points than they did, I mean, it all works hand in hand. Keyshawn Nixon bringing that ball out of the end zone. There was sloppiness and plenty of things to point to all over the field.
But here's the problem. Now he's going to sit for another 2 weeks or 3 weeks without throwing a football,
if not more.
He was rusty. I mean, he was not accurate at all.
No.
He had some nice throws, but he certainly wasn't accurate. Probably not going to throw it all this week because they don't want to re-aggravate that thing. So this is the problem with preseason. You know, when you get dialed in with reps and reps and reps, and they don't have to be live against a quarterback. It just has to be a rhythm. And it took us back in the day when we played in the preseason. It took us three games to be like, all right, now I get it. Roll over at five. This is perfect. Beautiful. So that's the problem. That's why I want him back maybe two games before they hit that stretch when they start playing really good teams, because he's got to be crisp. He's got to be crisper with these guys.
Is there a way to solve that, Chew? Because teams aren't going to go, you know what? We got to start playing in the preseason more. Like, they're going to be taking a preseason game away sooner rather than later. There's only going to be two of them. And more teams, yes, there are still old school guys, like the guy Andy down, you know, in KC, that's going to play their guys early.
Yeah.
And certainly I think that helps with them looking as good as they did last Thursday. But more and more teams are going, it's more important to be healthy going into the season than anything else. We're prioritizing our team health than anything else. So is there anything else they can do in these joint practices to find the rhythm?
No, not if that's, you know, what they're going to do and treat the preseason like that. But the thing is, you cannot go from 75 miles an hour to 100 and expect to be perfect. It just doesn't work.
Wait a minute. Aren't there diminishing returns on that as well, Gabe? Because, again, you're protecting health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quote, unquote, theoretically. But if you don't play, and I'm not saying the Jordan Love injury was a byproduct of not playing in the preseason. Those two things don't seem connected. But there are guys who will get injured because they didn't have the proper, to use Chewy's, reps during the preseason. So at some point, aren't there diminishing returns on not playing in the preseason?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm just reacting to what teams are doing. Right? Obviously, they don't think there's a correlation there. If they thought that there was a correlation of, okay, our guys are going to be injured more early in the season, then I think they would try to find a more happy medium than just, okay, only the young guys are getting out there. Only the second and third teamers, those are the only ones we're going to see during preseason. So,
one thing I noticed in our calves, everyone has a calf. Everyone has a calf. Everyone's pulling a calf. That's from conditioning. That's from not being out there in 90-degree weather and sweating and getting your body used to being depleted with fluids and hot and having to rehydrate and dehydrate and rehydrate and dehydrate. Never seen so many calves in my life. And I had a calf, you know? They suck. They're horrible. And people, when they say, oh, you got a calf, you're like, come on. Suck it up. You know? But it's one of those injuries. I think that's and we treated training camp to condition your hamstrings. And that's why you get pulls, because your lower body isn't conditioned the way it should be.
Well, remember when we talked, I think it was last year, about Jaden Daniels at LSU, and Jaden Daniels felt like a big reason why he had taken the leap that he did from the previous season was because he was doing simulated reps, if you mm-hmm. will, and he was doing it basically with VR. And what they were doing is they were speeding up the pace of play in the VR so that when he set foot on the field, it was actually slower than what he had been working towards. Do you think that is the future of this position specifically, Chu?
I think it should be. To me, it's probably like a batter going into a batting cage and turn it up to 102 when you're going to face a guy that throws maximum heat. Mm-hmm. So then you act, okay, you can feel the speed of what's going on. Would you agree with that from a baseball standpoint? Instead of just stepping in there and facing 102 and like, ooh, that's a little faster than I thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, guys are certainly going to do that from a baseball perspective.
And I think they should use it with referees, speed,
but also, okay, so that helps out Jordan Love. But if he's sharper, but what if Dontavian Wicks isn't that sharp with his cuts
right,
yet?
Because timing is such a huge part of the success at those positions.
The problem with this, Jen, and I just went over the five plays that we're going to do and Catch 22.
All 22. Going to be coming out later this week
close.
On YouTube.
I knew there was a 22
just
in there.
Because you got the ooh sound. Yeah. I don't think
But I look at, and me and Gabe looked at a couple plays, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? The interception to Musgrave. Like, and I understand why he got his ass ripped now. I'm like, you shouldn't even be involved in the play. Mm. Like, what are you doing?
So
some guys just
thing?
Cannot process. Okay. They can't process fast enough. You know, I was slower than most, off the line, but I could process. I could bam. I know exactly what I'm doing right now. You get a guy, and there's been plenty of guys, tight end that runs 4-4, that has to sit there and go, should I take that against cover 2? Let me think. And they can't do it, and you're worthless, It's just some guys can process extremely fast and some guys can't. And if you can't, sorry, you can't play.
So the reason we bring this up is because on Kyle Bruston Nortman's Twitter account, they put a poll out that said, did Jordan Love live up to your expectations prior to his injury on Friday? And 56% of people said no. But I think a lot of people are willing to dismiss it and not dismiss it outright, but dismiss it mostly because of the travel, the field, the Chewy said, the cramps, the timing with the receivers and whatnot. Like, I think there people believe that Jordan Love, when he does get back out there, I know Chewy mentioned he will now have sat for several more weeks, feel like his trajectory will continue to go up. It is not like, well, what you see is what you get with Jordan Love week one.
Yeah, it's a data point, and if more games like that happen, then you start to question, but when you're not questioning anything after one game. There were enough of really good throws. Like the throw he had before the injury to Jaden along the left side, rolling out to his left and then dropping that one along the sideline. Whoo! Yeah, so you saw the wow play, but then he also had the one where he spiked it at Jaden's feet when there was nobody around him on a crossing route.
Yeah.
That was bad.
And a couple of ones to Wicks were, I mean, they're catchable, but that's got to be a lot easier from a Quinn. And he'll get there. It's just the reps. He hasn't had the reps. And now he's not going to get reps. So there's no switch you can flip and where everything's like, oh, it just clicks. It's kind of like a shooter in basketball. You don't shoot a basketball for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Don't expect to go out and shoot 45% from threes.
Shoot to stay hot, shoot to get hot.
Yeah, it just doesn't work like that.
I found it interesting that because the sentiment of most of the people was that they were underwhelmed, and I saw a lot of people talking about, well, now you got money, you have to perform. Did we not learn anything from what we witnessed last year? Like, Jordan Love was good. He also had stretches where he didn't look so good. It's not, quarterbacks don't go out and perform like MVPs every single time they touch a field.
You know why, Joshy? You know why?
They're used to Aaron Rodgers.
Because it's flipping hard. That's why. It's hard. Yeah, and it's like, not easy.
So to be like underwhelmed, it's like, so what then? You think Jordan Love just isn't good enough and they misevaluated, they paid him too much money. The last 10 games were an anomaly?
No, I think people, again, to your point earlier about the money, is when you get paid that high amount, expectations go up.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're Rashawn Gary. Then they don't go up.
Yeah, or Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
I mean, can I be honest with you guys? I don't think that most Packers fans could pick Rashawn Gary out of a room. You're a room full of people. Walking around. We're here at the 3rd Street Market Hall. He's walking around. I mean, he's a big man, but I think most people would be like, not able to pick Rashawn Gary out of a room. Jordan Love, on the other hand, again, with the money comes the spotlight, and that comes increased expectations. And I think they thought he would light the world on fire. And to Chewy's point, it's tough.
It's funny.
And there were a lot of other extenuating circumstances. Yeah. You know, we've mentioned a lot of them here. But I think week one, generally speaking, I'm not going to sit here and write the book on people after their week one performances. No,
but it's also kind of hard to spot them on the field, too.
But, oh, there we go.
It is. I mean, right? That's fair.
You're not getting any pushback from me.
What do you mean? He had that big sack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please break it down in shoo-shoo or whatever it is that you guys do, okay? I don't know if he doesn't need to know the name.
I feel as the lead of the show, you should probably know the name of the show. Yes, he doesn't need to know anything. You need to know things.
Tune in to Choo Choo Magoo with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Shapiro.
I am the Walrus.
On YouTube. That was good. I appreciate the Beatles reference there. Football season is back, and I am excited to get back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with their game day energy. Drink Celsius like me and college stars Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and more. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors. My favorite right now, guys, gotta be honest, it's the cherry cola. The sparkling cherry cola tastes just like your favorite soda. Stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold you can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no. Cold can be good. Involved. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We will get to Sophia Minute shortly. But I figure this might be the good time to get some help. Not generally speaking help, specific to this topic.
Like Beatles help?
I need somebody. No. Well, I do need somebody. And I figure, Chew, you might be able to help me with this. So last year we showed you guys, as we were getting our basement redone by our friends over at PCI, when we pulled the drywall off of the basement wall, there was a smorgasbord of squirrel food. Pine cones and nuts, and they were clearly storing their wares in our walls for the winter. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that is a lot of alliteration there. That would make a feature writer proud. Anyway, so we've been hearing scratching, right?
Yeah.
On our walls. So we know we have another squirrel problem. So we're getting somebody out there to take the squirrels, find the squirrels, trap the squirrels, whatever. But until then, I took a 2x4 and propped it up underneath the part of the house to kind of block their pathway, if you will, right? Kind of jam up their progress. You know what those suckers did? Chewed through
the wood. Yeah.
Chewed through the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could they have chewed through the 2x4? Sure, they could have. Did they? No. You know what wood they chewed through? The house would.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have an even bigger hole because apparently they were so adamant, so strong to get to their nut collection that they chewed through my house. I didn't realize, too, that squirrels were so pesky. They were such nuisances.
And ground squirrels are terrible. What I did, because one of our decks at the lake had a facade on it all the way to the ground, and they dig under there. So I had, there's a company that would put like a wire mesh 2 feet down, because they're not going to dig that far down. They'll give up. And they're not chewing through wire. It's just like chicken wire, but it's very, very, the gaps in it are so small. Or you could poison them, which is one of my favorites, you know.
Poison the squirrels?
Sure.
With what?
Poison.
Poison. It's right there. He said it in the sentence.
They're just rats, you know.
What if you poison it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Counterpoint. You poison it, and it goes down into the hole to die.
Then you have a problem. Then you got a smell issue.
Then I got a dead squirrel in between the studs of my basement wall.
Well, what do you think traps are doing? They're not catching them and then let them go in the woods somewhere.
There's live traps, you know?
Yeah, first of all, you can. Second of all, I don't really care about that. I will kill a squirrel. I'm not sitting here like...
The mesh, and it worked great.
So it does look like... It does look like whoever had the house before us knew this might be a problem.
Yeah.
Because there is all of that foam fill.
Sure.
And wire, what is it?
Wire
like,
mesh?
Not mesh, but like a...
Chicken wire?
No, it's like a... Come on, guys. It's like you'd use it to scrub your pan.
Oh, Brillo pads.
Yeah, like that. Like they've got a bunch. It's, I mean, I'm sure it's for, you know, keep... It's called something, though. Wire mesh? Is that it? Is that just what it's called? Anyway, stuffed up in there. So the whole thing is covered in it, except for the spot where they have chewed.
Yes.
I got a big problem.
Sounds like it.
So...
What Another thing they'll do so is they'll cry, you know, where you're...
They'll cry?
No, your dryer vent, where the exhaust goes from the house. I mean, they'll crawl up and make a nest in that thing.
I do have
That's why you
got to
mesh that. I'm telling you, the
it.
Mesh works great.
All right, so maybe I'll get some more mesh. Yes. But again, the whole goal is I got to make sure it is out. I can't worry about it being in when we mesh the hole.
And then make sure your trees around your house... Don't allow the squirrels to crawl up them and onto your roof, and then you'll have the problem in your bedroom.
Steel wool is what you're looking
that's
for.
That's the word. Steel Thank wool. You very much. Steel wool is
well,
exactly
that's a Brillo pad.
Yeah, same thing, but very similar. Yes.
Yeah, that'll work.
Gabe, Either you don't have or... these types of problems. Huh? You're a homeowner.
Haven't had a single squirrel problem.
No.
Zero squirrel issues.
I could send the blammer over. He eats those things.
Squirrels?
Did I tell you the one time he
squirrel
picked
soup?
One up like an idiot on a tree and it sliced him? It was beautiful.
Wait, hold on. So I can sell my squirrels to the blammer?
Well, he's going to come over and
take care of the problem
for you. But he saw a squirrel on a, and granted, he had a few pops and decided to go grab the squirrel on the tree. And the squirrel went, and it looked like he had a horrible shaving accident. His face was all scratched up. He was bleeding everywhere.
Was there any part of you concerned for
none,
your friend?
Not whatsoever. No. And I blame Andy Reid. The igloo theory.
Which is?
He taught me the igloo theory with kids. You know? In the igloo, the kids wanted to go touch the fire. Right? Kids touch the fire one time. Never going to touch it again, are they?
Doesn't that change when it's like a 70-year-old man?
Not really. It's still just as entertaining.
You have to remember, that's what I was just going to say. You have to remember that the primary reason these two hang out is for the laughs.
Yes.
For the chuckles.
For Chewie's laughs.
And
specifically.
And having a squirrel judo your face.
Yeah,
how do you lose? Like, if
like he's just visualizing it and he's laughing.
How did that even happen? Did he lose grip of it and it just went crazy on him?
No, he didn't get its front legs or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just dummy slapped him. And he didn't know whether to let it go because he thought it was going to jump on him, so he kind of took it for about 8 seconds.
I got a lot of our loyal listeners who are weighing in on the squirrel issue. Jen, just contact Advanced Wildlife. They're good. My daughter's boyfriend works for them. Ask for Taylor. The green poison you get from Old Fleet Farm, supposedly when they eat it and they die, they don't smell. Ron in the Key weighing and saying, you know what's funny? Rabies.
Old Blammer get tested.
No. I think, look, when 20% of your blood is scotch, you're covered. You're okay.
Kind of eliminates okay? everything.
It kills everything. Let me tell you what. They ain't going to need formaldehyde. He is preserved already.
Join me out at the Wisconsin Country Club. I love being out there. Great golf course. It's beautiful, challenging, always in pristine condition. I
excellent
have some friends
squirrels I
out
hear
there.
Out there.
Yeah,
Gabe.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about the squirrel issues out there. No food and beverage made of ones. Beautiful course that is challenging. No assessments ever with the Wisconsin Country Club. But maybe you're looking for something a little bit more out of your club. They have pool, tennis, pickleball themed Sunday fun days at the pool, so they have something for everyone in your family. They're also giving back to the community. Find out more about Swing for Cindy and help raise money for ALS on October 5th by going to thewisconsincountryclub.com. That's thewisconsincountryclub.com.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Very interesting times in Brewersville, and we go to Sophia Minert for everything surrounding the Brew Crew. Good morning, Sophia. How are you doing today?
Hi, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. Would you care to remind the world what the magic number is for the Milwaukee Brewers this morning?
It would be 9. We are down to single digits.
Very exciting. Very exciting. But again, we've talked about the expectations for this Brew Crew, for this team, and how, you know, we expect them to be in the postseason and hopefully make a deep run in the postseason. I got to tell you, last week's performances were not all that inspiring. How did the team react to not performing the way we had become accustomed to them performing, especially offensively?
Yeah, it was a really odd week because that's an area that they have been pretty consistent. And, you know, to lose back-to-back series as well, that's something that they had not done since the end of July and the first week of August. It was right around the trade deadline that they did that. It was against the Nationals and the Braves, if I remember correctly. So, you know, it's even just losing back-to-back series just is unusual for them. But they've done such a good job of shortening stretches where they're struggling. You know, the longest losing streak that they've had all year has been 3 games. They're the only team in baseball that has not had a losing streak of 4 games or more. I think that tells you a lot about the team, right? Especially considering their youth and their inexperience, they've done a good job of shortening those stretches. So, you know, offensively, it was just like more chase we were used to seeing. They've done such a good job of putting the ball in play and not being so home run reliant. You know, and that obviously affects the running game and how they have consistently scored runs. So I think, you know, last night I think was really encouraging of it was just a really solid game all around, right? You get an off day. They know that they're going into a really challenging stretch here of 13 straight and against good potential postseason opponents. They're going to be seeing a lot of the Arizona Diamondbacks, 7 games against them. So I think, you know, they understand like what they have to do. And Murph said too, it's like there was some pressing going on last week, right? Everyone kind of knows the situation. You want to wrap up the division. You feel like you maybe have to do more to chase down the Phillies and the Dodgers. But at this point, it's, you know, it's Al Davis, right? It's just win. Just keep winning and just see where you end up.
Sophia, which players are in line for Golden Glove?
Well, I would certainly hope that Bryce Turang gets one. If he does not get one, I mean, that is...
We're just blowing up Golden Gloves and they don't mean anything anymore, right?
Really? We're going to...
He's that good at saying...
Oh.
Yeah, so yeah, the Gold Glove Awards are all by position, and then the Platinum Glove goes to, like, the overall best defender in each league. So, look, I think Bryce Turang, if he does not win one at second base, which last year that went to Nico Hoerner with the Cubs, I mean, we should just make him one, do an on-field presentation. I don't know. We're going to have to write that. We're going to file an appeal. I don't know what we're going to have to do with that one. I think you could also make a really good case for Blake Perkins. Bretton Doyle, who we just saw with the Rockies, he's got a phenomenal arm. He's been great defensively. But, you know, Blake now has 4 home run robbing catches. He's in double digits for defensive runs saved. I mean, what Blake has done defensively is, should not go unnoticed. So in terms of on the Brewers roster, I think those are probably your 2 best candidates.
Dinger last night for Garrett Mitchell. Is he the guy they need a little bit more consistency to make sure the offense has a lot of good firepower heading into the postseason?
Yeah, that's we've talked about that with Murph, right? Is, you know, in the postseason, home runs obviously are king, right? And so the way that the Brewers have scored, it's like they have not been one of the top home run hitting teams in the National League. They've been sort of middle of the pack, but they've scored in other ways. And I think that makes them a really interesting matchup in the postseason because it's unsettling, right? The pressure that they put on pitchers. They see a lot of pitches. They run like crazy. They have great base runners up and down the lineup. And then they also have the ability to hit power, right? Like Willy Adames, William Contreras. And then you throw in a guy like Mitchell, who he's got pop. If he's disciplined and he's worked on his ball strike, he's got it. And he's certainly capable of doing that. Reese Hoskins, of course, who has awesome postseason experience. He seems to thrive in the postseason. He's definitely capable of giving you power. So they're going to have to do it differently probably than other teams because they just have not consistently, you know, mashed like a team like the Phillies or a team like the Dodgers, right? Like their top 4 hitters in their lineup. But you need guys that are capable of it up and down. And I think, you know, Garrett, if he can get into a good place, he could absolutely be that guy and contribute to that.
Sophia Minute hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. You're talking about the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk about the pitching staff for a minute because I know Murphy talked about how 13 games in 13 days, you got to get a little creative with the staff. What do you see them doing as far as who they're going to run out there every night?
Yeah, well, I guess let's start here. Fortunately, they're healthy, right? Knock on all the things. This is maybe the healthiest that they've been with their pitching staff at this point in the season. So, yes, 13 in a row. This is like the last long stretch with just 17 games remaining. So this is going to go fast. But, you know, you've got your 5, right, that you've had. Aaron Civale last night. Colin Ray and Frankie Montas will start the rest of the series here. The one that could really be interesting is DL Hall, who we've seen 3 times now since he returned to the team. He was awesome in that doubleheader against the Reds, going 7 scoreless. Just saved everybody, honestly, game 2 of that doubleheader. And then he's been pitching out of the bullpen, but it's been more scripted appearances to keep him on a starter routine and keep him stretched out. And his stuff has looked really good. I think this is the best version of DL Hall that we have seen in his limited time here. So he could definitely be an option to maybe be a 6th man. They could go with an opener because they've got options in terms of length because Joe Ross has been so good. Aaron Ashby has come up and been so good over his last handful of appearances. Bryce Wilson is on the IL, but if he comes back, you're looking at another really good length option. So they have coverage and they have interesting options. You could piggyback left-handed, right-handed. So it is going to be interesting what they do. It could be, you know, the weekend series for the Diamondbacks are looking ahead when they come home for that monster series against the Phillies, 3 games against them, and then another 4 against the Diamondbacks.
Sophia, who's the veteran leader or leaders of this team? Who's the guy or guys that's going to stand up before the Arizona, Philadelphia, Arizona and say, hey, guy, this is the season right here. We got to win all 3 of these to get that bye. It's going to be huge. Is it one guy or a couple guys?
It's a couple guys. So Murph, you know, at the start of the season, he's outlined kind of who he thinks the pillars, that's how he refers to them, like the pillars of this team are. And this veteran group, you know, they meet, well, they meet like at least once a month. Then he meets with the team overall, usually once a month. And then sort of as an as needed basis, right? He has individual conversations with players all the time, but this pillars veteran group that you're asking about, it's the guys that you would expect, right? It's Willy Adames and William Contreras and Christian Yelich and Wade Miley and Freddie Peralta. Devin Williams is in that group. I don't want to leave anybody out. Rhys Hoskins. So that's the group that he goes to the most. And again, they meet regularly. He's talking with them individually. They just had a meeting on the last homestand as we got into September. And, you know, it was obviously a tough homestand. So he lets them dictate, you know, what needs to be said, whether it's individually to the team, as an offensive group, as a pitching group, because, you know, as you know, I'm sure this is similar in football too, right? With like offensive mm-hmm. defense, you know, the position players and the pitchers, it is one team, but just the rhythm of your day is different. Like the work is different. So it's helpful to have guys in each of those, right? Freddie with the starters, Devin as the closer and as the reliever, and then several position players. And look, even the guys who are on the IL, Christian Yelich, Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff, they're there for guys too. Mm-hmm. And they're still, you know, doing everything they can to be sort of as valuable as possible and just be great resources. So, yeah, that's been the group that Murph has identified from the beginning.
You mentioned the bullpen, and Devin's been so good. I think it's 7 scoreless now for him in his last 7 appearances. And Trevor McGill sharp mm-hmm. last night. Are we going to see Brian Hudson again before the end of the season after he was sent down last week?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he just pitched Saturday, and the minor league teams are all off on Monday, so he should be back at it this week with Nashville. And, you know, Murph told us that when they sent Hudson down, that was the toughest conversation he's had with any player this season about having to option them, because it really wasn't about performance. Hudson has had just such a good breakout season, right? I mean, all of the multi-inning appearances he's given them, such a great lefty option. He's been a huge reason why this bullpen has been so good. But, you know, the velocity was starting to tick down for him. This is a workload he's never had before in the big leagues. And, you know, they just wanted to get him right. And so you can option him. It's a little bit of, you know, roster roulette of kind of who is out of options and has options. And then just get him on a kind of a scripted schedule, a little less pressure, get him right, and then bring him up, and hopefully you get like a fresh, strong version of Brian Hudson for the stretch run here. So yeah, I would absolutely anticipate seeing him at some point.
I just realized this looking at the schedule, but the Brewers open the season at the Mets. They close the season hosting the Mets. That gives me plenty of time, mm-hmm. guys, to get my effing wah sign ready. Get my effing wah sign ready to go at AmFam Field. Cannot wait for that. Would you like to join me in the effing wah club, Sophia? I'll be president of the club. You can be vice president of the club. Maybe we'll need a treasurer or a secretary or something. We can bring these jokers along.
Can you refresh my memory?
F and wah?
Yeah.
Sophia, F and wah? Remember Rhys Hoskins?
I'll let you do the...
Yeah. Across to McNeil.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. McNeil was like, you're the dirtiest player I ever played against. Yeah. And he was like, effing
that
wah.
Was wonderful.
And he's doing the eyeballs,
yes.
rubbing his eyeballs.
That's almost as good as the guy for the Dodgers that pitched for the Red Sox.
Oh, when he made the pouty face?
Yeah.
Joe Kelly?
Joe Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Joe Kelly. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone get your crying face emojis.
Oh,
exactly.
That was wonderful.
That's why I brought it up today. It gives people plenty of time. You got 2 weeks before the Mets come to town, and you can absolutely torment those Mets when they get to AmFam Field. All right, Sophia, thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Brewers back in action tonight against the Giants. Wrapping up that series tomorrow. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee tonight. Greg Matzik, Ben Brust, and I will be down there for the Weekly Wager. It's a weekly show on sports betting right from the sportsbook broadcast booth. And we will be giving you our best bets of the week. Remember, I went 4-2 last week, feeling pretty good about keeping up that streak. If you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces near the Skywalk. They have figured it all out. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. We want you to get in on the action.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywing and saying you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity. Every bite is a work of culinary art. Learn more and make reservations at aria at stkate.com. That's aria at stkate.com. Man, some people are real dumb. I mean, obviously not present company included, obviously. But did you see the story about this kid who had a Lego stuck up his nose for 20 years?
The man.
Well, I was about to say, at that point, he's no longer a kid. He's become a man.
Well, that's questionable. Question, did he say that he thought his mom had taken it out? Was this the old, like, she went up there with some tweezers, couldn't find it, and was like, I got it! We're good.
So this Arizona man, 32 years old, he believed he shoved a Lego piece up his nose when he was age 6 or so back in the 90s. Despite the mom previously thinking she had got it out, turns out a piece of it remained in Norton's nostril.
Man, that mom knew she did not get that Lego out.
Years.
She knew she did not get that Lego out. And she was like, I got to get dinner on the stove. I got to go pick up the kids from camp. So let me see. Okay, yep. Oh, you're good. You're good. We got it. And she just let him go.
Right? Did it show the Lego? What part of the Lego was it? Like,
it's a little yellow piece.
Yeah, just a little. So, yeah, some part of it is, I mean.
It broke?
My guess is it was on, like, attached to another piece.
Yeah.
And that piece, like, so you pull Lego out one piece.
Yeah.
And you have that piece, not realizing that the little,
like
neon
the people head?
Light. Similar size.
Yeah, like the hair on the people head, right? Like,
yeah,
you got a person head, and then they have hair on top. The hair stayed, and the people head went, if you're believing Gabe's theory about how this all went down.
There's nothing worse than a tree you can't get
there. I agree.
Am I right?
Well, you know, I had that sinuplasty done about a month ago,
yeah,
and the boogers were
that were
epic.
Coming.
Just galactic boogers,
yeah,
from that procedure. They
There's
were just
nothing
enormous.
Better than pulling one that comes from your lungs. You know what I mean?
It's got a little stretch to it as you're getting it out there.
I can breathe.
I coined it a brain tickler.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Don't you know you have a Lego up your nose for 20 years? 20 years? 30 years. Almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years. 26
what
years.
What would be worse, ear or nose?
I don't know. Both are bad.
Yeah.
Also, when I go to the doctor, if I'm sick, they usually do the old inspect up the nose thing.
Sure.
Was it not visible? Was it that far lodged up that
side? I mean, yeah, you're right. They check all the face holes.
Yeah.
They do, right?
And when you blow your nose, you would imagine there would be movement.
Yeah,
you'd feel
I mean,
it.
The kid had dark hair, so it might have been hiding in there. Because I'm assuming his nostril hair.
he had just like blew it out of his nose during a shower.
You know when you know you're old?
He was farmer blowing for
yeah.
sure, right?
Well, because according to this, my doctor told me with the dry, hot summer months, it's really helpful to blow your nose while you're in the shower because the humidity of the steam
yeah.
and everything,
oh,
it
yeah.
really helps clear everything out. My initial thought with the thing flying out is that I had somehow hurt myself or blown a mass of something that wasn't supposed to come out. The sound it initially made, I thought it was a rock or maybe a tooth.
Out of his nose.
Yeah.
Okay.
After cleaning it off, the way the Lego memory came rushing back to me was kind of like the movie Ratatouille when the food critic gets transported in his mind to his childhood. Oh. I immediately had to show everyone.
Hey, what's worse, blowing a tooth out your nose or a Lego?
A tooth.
He might want
more issues if it's a tooth.
He might want to check his white blood cells.
Do you guys have any?
Don't you think your body would attack it? No?
I'm sure it tried.
Yeah.
It's a plastic mass.
I never stuck anything up my nose.
I wasn't going to. No. Your kids, though, eaten anything? Shoved anything up the nose?
No.
The worst swallowing I had quarters.
It, worst I had it as a kid is, oh, well, no. The worst I had it was I sat on a pencil.
Oh.
Yeah, bad.
Do you mean
the way it was positioned in the chair, it was sticking up. And it went not up my butt, but like in my cheek.
Yeah, of course.
And it stabbed me, and I had to go to the doctor because they were worried about lead poisoning.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten a penny?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they come out the same. Yeah.
What do you mean? Why are you guys saying that? Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, I ate a penny.
I was a kid once.
Yeah.
It's not like I ate a penny yesterday.
Have you ever eaten a penny?
I don't think I ate a penny.
I have never eaten pennies.
I can tell you this. If Blammer ate a penny, that thing ain't coming out. That thing is dissolving.
And on that note, Wildy and Tausch is next.